Debbie, the church gossip and self-appointed monitor of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several members of the church did not approve of her extracurricular activities, but actually feared her enough to maintain their silence for fear of what she might say about them. She made a mistake, however, when she accused Bill, who was a new member of the church, of being an alcoholic after she saw his old pickup parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She emphatically told Bill and several others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. Bill was a man of few words, and so he just stared at her, said nothing, turned around, and walked away. He did not explain. He did not defend himself. He did not deny anything. He said nothing. Later that evening, Bill quietly parked his pickup in front of Debbie's house and left it there all night. You gotta love Bill. God places a strong emphasis on sins of the tongue. Two of the Ten Commandments, for instance, refer to sins of the tongue. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That can be interpreted at least partially to talk about the way you speak of God's name. And then the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. And of the seven things that God says that he hates, that are an abomination to him, in that statement in Proverbs 6 and verses 6 through 19, three of them have to do with a tongue, a lying tongue, a false witness that bears lies, and he who sows discord among brethren. Our speech will reveal who we are. It tells people about us. For instance, for all of those of us who grew up here in the South or have at least adopted the South and adopted the language of the South, we understand this, and people know that we're from the South because we say things like y'all and bless her heart. And we call every kind of carbonated beverage a Coke, no matter what is on the label. And those shopping carts are actually known as buggies. That's something that's peculiar to our geographic location. And just as that is true with us, it was true with Peter when he was there at Jesus' trial. Someone came up to him and said that knew that he was a Galilean because of his accent. He said, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And that's true with us as well. People will know where we're from just by the way we talk. And just as our speech will reveal our geographic origin, it also reveals who we are in our heart. It reveals something about our character as well. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said this in Matthew 12 and verse 33 through 35. He said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." What comes out of our mouth is a picture of our heart, or at least what is in our heart. And if you are bitter, if you are angry, if you are arrogant, if you are unforgiving, then your words are probably not going to be full of love. However, if you allow your heart to be filled with mercy and grace and love, then your words will be filled with the same. This morning, I'm beginning a series on sins of the tongue. I want to speak to you specifically this morning about gossip. Gossip is not a characteristic of someone who is filled with mercy, grace, and love. And the sins of the tongue are varied. There are many ways in which we can sin with our speech and the way we talk. And there are many, many passages in Scripture. I knew this intellectually. I knew it was there. But when I started studying for this lesson, I was just overwhelmed with how many passages, both Old and New Testament, are talking about our speech and the warnings about our speech. For instance, here's some from the wise King Solomon. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. He says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." The more you talk, the more you get in trouble. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. "He who has knowledge spares his words." And then in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3, "A fool's voice is known by his many words." Look over at Romans chapter 8 with me for just a moment, please. Romans chapter 1. As we zero in on this particular sin of the tongue, gossip, I want you to notice what Paul says at the end of this chapter, Romans 1, this chapter where he has delineated all the evil things that the Gentiles are participating in, the things that the people of the world are involved in, and he ends this chapter with this litany of sins, many of which we would say are quite heinous and vile. But then there's a couple that stick out that you might think, well, wait a minute, those aren't too bad, are they? Verse 28, Romans 1, 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Now, in that list, there are some quite evil things. You have the sexual immorality, you have the maliciousness, you got murder and strife, and you have the haters of God and so forth. And we would wholeheartedly, readily agree that those people are deserving of the righteous judgment of God. They are deserving of death. And yet, also included in this list are things such as whisperers, gossiping, backbiters, those who say something about someone else behind their back. Talks about strife, because gossip, of course, does stir up strife. And so these are on the same playing field, the same level as the sexual immorality and the murder and the haters of God. And it's unfortunate to say that Christians are involved in gossip just as much, and maybe sometimes even more so, than people of the world. What is gossip? It's not just talking about other people, obviously. If that was the case, we'd never, ever be able to mention anything to anyone about anybody else. It's not just talking about people. Sometimes people think, well, it's only gossip if it's something that is not true or if it's something that is not confirmed to be true. And I would agree that that would fall underneath the category of gossip. If you're talking about somebody, something about that person that is not true, or something that you're not sure if it's true, that would be gossip. But that's not it. That's not all there is. Gossip can actually happen even if it is true. That's one of the lies people will tell themselves, is that this is not gossip, this is true. What I'm about to tell you is the truth. I'll summarize it this way for now, and then I'll explain in more detail as we go along, that what constitutes gossip is that if what you're saying about anybody is negative and not helpful, it's gossip. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. If what you're saying about someone is not going to help that person, and if it's going to diminish that person's character in somebody else's eyes, it's gossip. And it does not need to be said. And I hate to say it, but we have a problem with gossip in this church. I am personally aware of 4 gossip incidents since I've been here. And if I am aware of 4, that probably means there's more that's been going on that I'm not aware of. And in each case, gossip hurts. It is not helpful. And we need to nip this in the bud. There are things that do not need to be said to other people. There are things that need to be kept to ourselves, whether it be opinions about someone or whether it be supposedly the truth about someone. It needs to either be kept to ourselves or it needs to be taken to the person that we have a problem with. I'll give you an example of one of these. I'm not going to name any names because I don't know who all was involved. And obviously, if I was naming names, I'd be guilty of the very thing I'm preaching on this morning. It would do no good. And this will illustrate to you what happens with gossiping. Those of you who are in the Sunday morning adult class, we had four lessons on church discipline. And there was some disagreement about certain aspects of how to go about enacting church discipline and when that needs to take place, and all the particulars of that. And there were some strong positions that were stated about that. It's no secret that James and I disagreed on some of those things. One of my sons, who's obviously not in the class, was walking through the crowd after services and heard something that he may have misheard it. It may be that he heard exactly the way it was said, but this, either way, it just illustrates this is what happens when things are being said that probably are not best to be said. He heard someone say, "Did you hear about the argument that took place in Bible class?" Now, what happens when we hear that statement, especially if we're not part of the situation, if we don't know what's going on? There was an argument in Bible class? Really? Well, who was involved? What was it all about? Who was wrong? Who was right? Folks, I don't know exactly what was said. Like I said, he may have misheard it. But that does not plant positive seeds in people's minds. By the way, me and James have talked. We're fine. We're good. We love each other. We want the same thing. And just because we had a disagreement does not mean that there was an argument in the traditional sense or in a negative sense. There was a discussion of ideas. But when a statement is made like that, it plants negative thoughts in people's minds. I quickly told him, Penn, well, I just told who it was, but it don't matter. I don't think he was in the wrong. He just heard that there was an argument and wanted to know what it was about. And I said, well, there wasn't an argument. There was a discussion. We had some disagreements. There are three other incidents that I am personally aware of that I'm not going to comment on. But there are some points we need to be sure we understand about gossiping and the dangers and the sin of gossiping. Number one, and this is the most important point that I want to make this morning, and that is that gossip destroys unity. Please look at Ephesians 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul emphasizes the need for unity here in this verse, or these verses, as he also does in 1 Corinthians, which is filled with this topic of unity. But in Ephesians 4 and beginning in verse 1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." When Paul is writing this, he's talking to a church that has been thrust into the midst of this cultural phenomena where you have Gentiles and Jews coming together for the first time. You have these two classes of people that never mixed, that always hated each other, and you're always going to be thinking negatively about the other person. And yet he says, you are now one in Christ Jesus, and you need to think this way and act this way with your brethren. No matter if they're Jew or Gentile, you need to be lowly, you need to be gentle, you need to be long-suffering, you need to bear with one another, and you need to strive, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Gossip undermines that. Gossip destroys unity. It will destroy the unity that exists between two individuals, the person that you're gossiping about and yourself. If it gets back to them, that relationship is damaged. It will destroy the unity that exists between a group of people because gossip is never kept to just one person. It always spreads. It is always going to involve more than one person. And the way people view that person being gossiped about is going to change. And then when the truth comes out and when people find out about it, that unity is broken. And it can certainly engage a whole congregation. Gossip tears down, brethren. It does not build up. And there's a good litmus test. If you want to know if what you're involved in, if what you're about to say, or if what you're listening to is gossip, is it tearing down or is it building up? If it's tearing down, it's gossip. It focuses on the negative aspects of people, not the positive. And people are hurt when they find out about the gossip that has been spread about them, and it damages those relationships, sometimes irreparably. At least it damages it for a period of time, and it's hard to get it back to the status that it once was. And that unity that is supposed to exist, that is so fragile, that he says you have to strive to gain, that you have to endeavor, that you have to diligently pursue, is something that takes a lot of work. And all it takes is one juicy bit of gossip, that statement about somebody that plants a seed of doubt or that paints that person in a bad light, that will destroy that. And the effort to get it back is so much greater. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, please. Let's take a look at a few passages there from the words of Solomon. Speaking about destroying the unity and the relationships, look at Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 13, there it says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Whether it be something that was told to you in confidence, or whether it's just something that you have found out about somebody, here are the wise words. Say, do you keep that in confidence? To keep that yourself. You don't reveal that to someone else. You conceal that. Now, brethren, I'm not talking about covering up sin. I'm not talking, and neither is the Holy Spirit here in this passage. He's not saying that if you see someone's sin, you just keep your mouth shut, you don't tell anybody about it. No, there is proper channels for that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But you have something that's been told to you in confidence, or something that you know would not necessarily look good on somebody else. You keep that to yourself. Flip over a few chapters to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16 verse 28, there it says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. You see, even the best of friends can no longer be best friends sometimes when gossip comes between them. Whether that statement of gossip was true or not does not matter. It can separate the best of friends. It's strife. It's someone who is sowing that discord, someone who is stirring up trouble. The next chapter, chapter 17 and verse 9, Proverbs 17, verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now this speaks a little bit more to the situation where there might be a sin involved, some offense, and he who is seeking love is going to take care of that matter, is going to make sure that is handled. He's not going to go blabbing about it to other people because that will separate friends. So what do you do if you have a problem or if you see something about someone? Look over at Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18. Jesus makes it very clear what we are to do. In Matthew 18 and in beginning in verse 15, Matthew 18 and verse 15. He says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." Now let me pause there for a moment. You have something with your brother? Something that he has done, either maybe directly to you, or maybe it's just something that you understand that he should not have been involved in. What does Jesus say? Does he say, go talk about it to somebody else? Does he say to go talk about it to your family, to your friends, and say, did you hear what Karen Waters just did? Did you see what she did? See, this is how it starts, Karen. Now, hey, this is being recorded. This is going to go out on the internet, and everybody's going to be wondering what on earth you did, Karen. I have just started a nasty rumor about you. Instead of just me going to Karen and showing my concern for her and saying, we need to get this fixed. Because he says that if you do that and he hears you, you have gained your brother. See, there was that separation. There was disunity, and now you are bringing that unity back. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. There are obvious steps that need to be taken. But the first step is you go to that person yourself in private. Gossip will go to somebody else first and say, did you hear what so-and-so did? Or did you hear what happened? Can you believe that so-and-so did this? It just is really frustrating when I see so-and-so do that. Or in the car on the way home from church services, you're talking about different people in the church in a negative light. What do you think your children are hearing? What is that doing in their minds to someone else? You see, gossip destroys unity. It tears apart the relationships. And in the process, gossip ruins reputations. Gossip has been known to be called a character assassination. Because gossip is always negative, not positive, it paints pictures, or paints people rather, in a bad light, and it will ruin their reputation. And the problem is that that person has not had a chance to defend himself or explain himself, just as if would happen if you went to that person in private. Then they have a chance to either explain or defend or admit their faults or whatever the case may be. But when we're talking about other people to someone else, that is unfair to them because they don't have a chance to defend themselves or to explain or to admit they're wrong, and it damages that person's reputation in other people's eyes. The people you talk to will start to think of that person differently. Gossip spreads. It's hard to stop it from spreading. Once it's out there, it's hard to keep it from not continuing to move on. And inevitably, the details change as it goes along. There were many times when I was a young child in Bible class, maybe in various Bible classes at people's homes, where we would get together for a devotion or for a Bible study, where we would play the gossip game. Many of you may have done the same type thing before when you were a child, or have done it in teaching children's classes. And the way that I remember it being done was that we would all gather around in maybe a horseshoe-type formation. And the teacher would tell some kid on the end, on one of the ends of this horseshoe formation, tell him something, some statement, not just some little short thing, but a fairly decent paragraph maybe. And what that child was supposed to do then was to repeat that to the next person, to whisper that back in somebody else's ear, the next person in line, and this continues all the way around the horseshoe until by the time you get over here, that person then repeats to the whole class and to the teacher what the statement was. Can you guess how many times that what that last person said was exactly what, or even close to, what the teacher said to the first person? Very rarely, if at all. That's the way gossip works. That was a practical, hands-on illustration of the way gossip works. When we talk to other people about somebody and it gets passed along, details change, and it was hilarious sometimes the way things came out. It's not funny when we're talking about somebody's reputation, though. It's not funny when we're talking about somebody's character and that person is not there to be able to correct what is being said about them. A reputation, a good reputation, is hard to begin or is hard to gain in the first place. It's even more difficult to regain once it has been damaged. People have a tendency to want to believe the bad things about good people. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we recognize that about our own selves. When we hear something negative about someone else, for some reason that excites us and we're thinking, whoa, really? Well, how about that? Why is that? Well, I think because, for one, it makes ourselves feel better as compared to somebody else. But that person never had a chance to defend himself or explain anything. And after the gossip has spread, any defense that person might make at that point is likely to fall on deaf ears. People's view of that person has already been affected, has already been changed, and any defense that person may make at that point is going to be hard to believe. People want to believe the negative. People focus in on the negative. That's just true of human nature. And so gossip ruins reputations. And we can be guilty of murder in another sense, and that is just murder of somebody's reputation and their character. Very briefly, gossip also destroys your trustworthiness. If you are involved in gossiping to someone else, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying when I'm talking about gossip, and rule yourself out of these situations, because I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we'd all raise our hands and say, yeah, we've been involved in gossip before. And we can mask it any way we want to try to make it appear as not gossip. But when we do that, when we're talking about other people, that is undermining and destroying our own trustworthiness. There's a saying that you've probably heard that those who gossip to you will also gossip about you. And that is true, that if somebody is gossiping to you about someone else, then what's to keep that same person from taking anything that they know about you and not talking to somebody else? Are we guilty of doing that? We will have our own trustworthiness destroyed in the process. And our reputation will suffer. Not just the reputation of those people that maybe that we're talking about, but our own reputation will suffer. And here's that rule that I want us to consider, the benchmark, the litmus test. And that is that gossip is never helpful, it is always hurtful. Now hear me closely, brethren, on this point. Because gossip oftentimes, especially in the church, masquerades as concern for someone else. Have you ever been guilty of that? Where you go to someone and say, I am concerned about so-and-so. I'm concerned for what they're doing and how it's affecting their family or their relationship or how it's affecting their relationship with God or what it's doing to their children. Now, I am not talking about shepherds and preachers and spiritual leaders who are talking amongst themselves, not just for the purpose of gossiping, but to identify those people with whom they need to work and spend time with and teach. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're simply talking about someone and their negative qualities, is there such a thing, negative qualities? Their negative characteristics, That's tearing down. It's not building up. That's not helping. And it's always hurtful, even if it's masquerading as a concern for others. Look over at Proverbs 18 and verse 8, please. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. I think this helps to see that sometimes we just enjoy it, enjoy gossip because it makes us feel better about ourselves, and we're seemingly all noble in our concern for someone else. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 8. There he says, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Enjoy that juicy bit of gossip. Because gossip feeds something in us that just loves to be in the know, to be on the inside, to be special. And it's a way of dealing with our own insecurities by pointing out that which is broken in somebody else rather than looking into our own life to see what is broken. True concern for someone. If you have a concern about someone, number one, will cause you to do what Jesus said for you to do in Matthew 18, and that is go to that person directly. Maybe you don't feel comfortable doing that. Can I, as kindly as I say, as I know how, say, get over it? Jesus says if you have something against someone, you need to go to that person. Now, I will concede that the shepherds are here to help with that as well. That if you need some advice, if you need some instruction on how to handle a situation, the shepherds will be there for you. But even then, be extremely careful, because the person you're talking to they're going to be negatively affected by that conversation. They're going to be thinking about that person and what they have done as a result. Our aim, brethren, in any of our talking with anybody else about somebody else should only be to build up, should only be to see how we can help that person and what we can do to make that person better. My mom used to tell me to think before I speak. And some clever person came up with this regarding the word think. Before you speak, think. Is it true? That's not enough. You can't just stop there and say, well, yeah, it's true, so I can go on and say it. Now, is it helpful? And even then, I would say it's not 100% done. Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if what we're going to say does not meet these criteria, brethren, it does not need to be said. It could be classified as gossip. It's only going to be hurtful and not helpful. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Edification means to build up, to make people better. And so anything that would tear down is a corrupt word. He says, don't let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Only those things that are going to help. Only those things that are going to make people better. Only those things that are going to edify. Only those things that are going to impart grace to the hearers. If it's something that will make the other person look bad, it's gossip. If it's talking about the negative characteristics of someone, it's gossip. You go to that person directly. Matthew chapter 12. Turn with me there, please. Take a look at what he says in Matthew 12. We looked at verses 33 through 35 a while ago, where Jesus was talking about the heart, and what comes out of the mouth is a portrayal of what is in the heart. And then he says this in verse 36 and 37. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That word, idle. Frankly, I don't think that's a great translation. I mean, what exactly is an idle word anyway? Other translations will use words such as careless or unhelpful. The idea here is that Jesus is saying if what you're going to say is maybe something that you're saying without even thinking about it, you're not thinking about the ramifications of what you're going to say, you're not thinking about the consequences of what you're going to say, you're not thinking about how it's going to affect the reputation of others, you're not thinking about how it's going to hurt, you're going to be held accountable for that. And we're either going to be justified by our words or we're going to be condemned by our words. That's how important this is, brethren. And we cannot slough it off. We cannot just pass it off as being that not that big of a deal. It is a very big deal, and the Scriptures make it so. Let me briefly, as we close, flip the tables here. Maybe you're not the one doing the gossiping. Maybe you're not the one doing the talking. Somebody has come to you, and they're starting to say something about someone else. Stop it cold. Confront that person. Expose the evil, wicked action that is. Expose their works of darkness. And ask them, why are you saying this about this person? Is this helping this person? Is this person going to be benefited by what you're saying? Have you gone to that person to talk to that person about your concern? If not, they need to stop right then and there. And even if they say, well, it's true, and it's a well-known fact, and I'm not telling you anything to you that I wouldn't say to his face, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, or if you would say it to his face or not. If it's not going to help, if it's only going to tear down, number one, you don't say it. Number two, don't allow somebody else to say it to you. Brethren, we need to be unified. That doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on everything. But we need to have the same goals, the same purpose, the same vision, and wish the best for each person and only think the best of each person. And if we have a problem with someone, we go to that person and we share our concerns with that person. That's the biblical model. That's what Jesus instructed us to do. And if we do that, then we will not be guilty of character assassination. We will not be guilty of separating friends. We will not be guilty of sowing discord or causing strife. Think before you speak. It may be that you are guilty of this sin or maybe some other sin that has separated you from your God and has caused a breach in that relationship between you and your God. And we want to help you repair that this morning. If in some way you see that your life is not where it needs to be, your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, we're going to be singing a song, and we encourage you to come forward as we sing that song and to confess those sins. Request the prayers of the congregation here. We will help you with that. If you're not a Christian, then you are not in a good relationship with God right now. And you need to be baptized to have those sins washed away and start your walk living with God from this moment forward. And we want to do that for you as well. The song we're going to sing is I'll Fly Away. It speaks of hope. It speaks of the time when our life is over and the eager expectation we have of heaven. If you are in a situation where you cannot genuinely sing those words, you need to come forward as we stand and as we sing.